Isn't this a sports show?
I'm going to get back to the Anthony Sherman butt stuff in a second.
What?
Almost entirely.
But I think the last topic will probably be Anthony Sherman because we know he's a nice firm end.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
And right now, like, I had a notification on my phone that I had successfully uploaded to Google Drive the photo called Sherman butt.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Off to the side in a black shirt that just stands out, kind of all by yourself, is just you taking a picture of Anthony Sherman's butt.
I wanted to get full coverage. It's something that his singlet did not provide.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
I'm a little bit out of breath because as the intro began playing today, just a few seconds ago, I sprung out of my chair.
I was so confused.
Sprinted down the hallway, grabbed a party popper, sprinted back, sat down with mere seconds to spare before popping off a party popper to celebrate the Chiefs' victory over the Oakland Raiders. For the last time, by the way, the Chiefs' last victory over the Oakland Raiders.
Here's the thing. They went back to Oakland once.
Vegas is ready. We've already got NFL players gambling on the games to get ready for how fun Oakland's going
to
be.
I meant to talk to you about that before. Did you hear how he got busted?
I don't think so.
Okay. It came out how the NFL found out he was gambling.
Okay.
So he was at Caesars. Caesars works with the NFL. Like they're
wow,
partners.
He was straight up in a building.
But here's the thing. He wrote all like when he wrote down like you have to fill out your occupation for tax purposes. He wrote down professional athlete or professional football player. He wrote down what he
wrote in the margins. Hey, please don't tell anyone. I could really get in trouble for this. Outstanding.
Because we talked about that. Like, how could he get caught? Like
how could you be so dumb?
Like that's got to be pretty difficult. So one, he placed the bet at a place that is direct partners with the NFL.
Yeah.
For this, like to help, and they're looking for this, and then when asked like to write down on his forms for like his winnings, like what's your job? Just NFL player.
Unbelievable. Also, before we get to Chiefs Raiders, XFL jerseys are being released over the course of this evening, which is very exciting. St. Louis Battlehawks jerseys just dropped. Really excellent. The XFL is doing work right now in the uniform department. The Battlehawks jerseys have those wings from the logo on the helmet. They are very, very good. I will say that all of them are a little bit simple so far. They're all very, very clean. These look more like college jerseys than arena league jerseys, which I actually think is probably the right direction for the XFL to go this time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a clean button-up football version of the XFL. Not that old stuff. He hate me.
I wouldn't be mad about the idea of just letting nicknames be on uniforms.
I would be good. I'd be here cool for that for sure.
Yeah.
So those we'll be giving you updates on those over the course of the show, and we will at some point we might go full on wacky sports radio letter grades for XFL uniforms. That feels like something that this show would willingly do.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I think we may. I feel like grading XFL uniforms on an audio medium might be something this show would do.
I'll be honest, like grading uniforms in general, like we're stepping on the program a little bit there.
Are they giving out letter grades?
I don't know if they give out letter grades.
Listen,
but like their they talk about uniforms like they're uniform guys.
Listen here. Siren wants to come fight me. I would prefer that he didn't. I've been reading Uni Watch since I was 13. I don't need any intellectual property battle here. We're on wild. Listen, they can spend an entire hour grading XFL uniforms tomorrow. We've got it as breaking news.
Grading.
That'd be
uniforms.
Great, actually. We're
That's
breaking the news here. We're trying to let you know as it happens. We're at the forefront of uniform news. You can go to them for the analysis tomorrow. I want to be the Adam Schefter of uniform news. That's what I want. This is the kind of start you can do to a show on a Tuesday. Whenever we've talked about the Chiefs game a little bit here and there. We did the post-game show. And I will say, and this is partially just, what I have chosen to do, But I don't know if there's been a game over the last in the Patrick Mahomes era where people have so fully moved on from one game to the next by Tuesday. Like, I want to talk about some of the takeaways from the Raiders game, and we'll talk to Seth Kizer of The Athletic here in an hour for his weekly Tuesday spot. But I want to talk about some of the stuff we learned from the Chiefs against the Raiders, because we said going into that game, like, hey, this matters. Like, you cannot lay an egg against the Raiders, and certainly losing that game would have been just apocalyptic for a number of reasons. But the Chiefs play the Raiders, totally handle their business, win that game with a little pizzazz defensively. All great. But unfortunately for the Chiefs, they made the Raiders look the last 2 weeks for Oakland. My God, they followed up on what the Jets laid down last week.
Life comes at you fast.
It really does. Life comes at Derek Carr extremely quickly. And they made the Raiders look super Raidery, even as they didn't for a while. Which again, like, I think that is something we need to credit the Chiefs on a little bit. But then next, it's the Patriots, and so it is the perfect storm for the Chiefs to deliver an excellent performance, and then for us to immediately begin ignoring it in favor of the thing that happens next. I thought Rudy might want to say something there. That's okay. We're still working it out. We're out of practice.
Was there a joke I was supposed to make?
No, I just thought you might want to share an opinion. You said, yeah, I was trying to...
Raiders bad!
I'm just trying to leave an open conversation.
I was getting like the text line brought up.
913-912-4810. Rudy is
also
getting
the Facebook posts, like, or the Facebook videos, like the comments ready.
Here's the thing that I don't know if Rudy just told the truth there or not.
Hey, yeah.
But if it was a lie, it was a perfect lie. No, I mean, I see it's there now.
Yeah.
But if Rudy would have been like, oh, yeah, sorry, I was making sure I had the stream up for the Nuggets game that starts in an hour, I would have been in a bad mood for the rest of the show. He was like, hey, sorry, I was, you know, you usually monologue and, you know, I was getting the text line up and everything. All right, you know what? That's fair. Maybe that's on me.
Nuggets-Lakers, I think, is an ESPN game, so that's easy. I get that up in like 2 seconds.
This is why I don't know what's true and what's a lie anymore. If you want to watch the show, we are on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook page every single night, except tomorrow, actually. So that's not true. We're on there tonight. Probably won't be on there tomorrow because we'll be out live at the Sharewaves event, mm-hmm. which I think is almost full, if not completely. But there's information about that on 810WHB.com, yeah. Certainly.
Last I heard, it was pretty close, but I haven't heard an update in a while.
If you want to come play Topgolf for a good cause, check out the website. Just go to 810WHB.com. I'm sure the information's up there.
Is it play Topgolf or is it play golf at Topgolf? At Topgolf?
I think...
Or would you just say play Topgolf?
I don't... So here's the thing. If you were going to go to a batting cage, I don't think you'd say you're going to go play baseball.
That's fair. No, that's fair.
You know?
Yeah, then
I think you go play Topgolf.
I think, yeah.
I think it's its own thing.
That's a pretty... Like, I can't... There are no holes in that explanation that I can point at, so yeah, I'm with you.
Except for the ones in the golf course.
And at Topgolf, they're much larger. So that we'll be out there doing the show tomorrow, and I'm going to see if somebody won't give me a club. Let me show my true athleticism, which is in swinging a golf club. I don't know if there's anything I can do in my life that makes me look more unathletic, other than just generally existing, than trying to swing a golf club. There was that one dude who tweeted me or commented on the show or something a while ago.
Yeah, the guy who was like, yeah, go back to playing tennis or whatever.
Yeah, it was so weird. He was like, I bet this guy can't. Throw a football or hit a baseball. He definitely didn't say soccer ball. But
he basically was like, "Yeah, no, you're not a real athlete. You can't play football.
No,
you're just a world class tennis player."
It was really, really strange. And I will say, I'm not like defensive about like my ability to throw a football. Like that has nothing to do with if what I say is a good take or not. But I can throw football fine. Like that's just a really weird place to come through. If you want to attack me as not being anything resembling athletic, come to Topgolf tomorrow. I would rather literally be asked to just throw a golf ball as hard as I could and then just fall over the edge on the second story. Love Topgolf.
Now, like, here's the thing you do have going for you. Like, there is no way you swing a golf club as bad as Barkley does. So, like, there's always that. You can always be like, hey, at least it doesn't look like this.
He was at Tahoe this year, and he's smoothed it out. I think 2019 Barkley and I have a lot in common.
I think there's
not a lot in our golf games.
Because, like, I've heard that, like, he actually, like, it's not terrible at golf. I think it's when people are, like, recording him.
Yeah.
Like, that's when everything goes, like, that's when things go bad. I feel like you're going to look the same whether you're being recorded or not.
That's true. Here's this show really defining its age bracket again. You know in Mario Baseball, how, like, I don't remember what he uses, but Bowser is just holding something with one hand. Like, he's holding a bat with one hand. Donkey Kong has a boxing glove on. Petey Piranha is just swinging with a leaf. I think I would have just about as good a luck hitting a golf ball if you just let me one hand the club. I don't know what to do with my left hand. Yeah. I'm not that coordinated. I can't do that.
Yeah, I just pulled up an image. Bowser's bat has spikes on it.
Yeah,
it feels
like a club
counterintuitive
of some sort,
right? The spike hits the baseball when it just gets stuck.
That's a great point. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you have a baseball shish kebab at that point. Yeah. That doesn't seem terribly useful. But I will. My
ground
mechanics,
rule double every time, though.
Is that true?
I don't know.
If you spear the baseball, is it a ground rule double?
I
can't be an out.
I mean,
maybe you just carry the bat with you down first base.
It's not a ball.
I think you just call it a foul. I feel like if the ball gets stuck on the bat, it's dead ball and it's a foul.
I feel like at that point, you're just like, game over. Just everybody go home.
Oh, or I'm telling you, you just carry it around the bases with you. Someone tries to reach your guy the ball, hit him with the bat.
Yeah, to be fair, who's going to stop you at that point?
Who's going to stop Bowser from doing anything?
Mario.
Other than Mario, I guess. That's what you got to draft. If Bowser's the other team, your team captain has to be Mario.
Has to be, yeah. He's the only one who's ever stopped him.
Is that true? Does anyone else ever stop Bowser? Like, especially if you go like Mario Party and stuff. Like, lots of people will stop Bowser.
That was a great game.
Dude, I haven't bought the Switch version yet, and I've been so tempted so many times.
So I was actually thinking about this last night. It's because, like, we all have Switches. Like, I imagine Mario Party, like, and we can all three play, like, you know, like, just wirelessly.
We should. Oh, I don't know, actually. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's the quintessential everyone in the same room game. We can stream that.
Yeah, but I just mean, like, I'm relatively confident, like, we'd be able to all, like, just, like, sync up.
Maybe.
Like,
I
would assume so.
If you have played the Switch version of Mario Party, text the show at 913-912-4810 with your review. Because I do think we could do a little Facebook Live video on the Almost Entirely Sports Facebook page of us. What I used to do in the high school years was me and my friends, who have mostly moved now, but I still have enough in the area that I think we could pull this off. We could definitely do an AES Mario Party for sure. We would play a Mario Party drinking game, but it was all centered around two things. Spicy salsa shots and then not getting last place. Because whoever was in last place had to drink what became famously known as the Sick Nasty. And the Sick Nasty is whatever the winner put together. They were just in the house of whatever parents' house we were playing at. Go to the fridge. What's that? Some banana pepper juice. Cool. Some banana, just normal. Why not? Some hot sauce? Absolutely. What is that? Deli meat? Let's chop that up real little tiny. Put that in there. Let's stir it with the candy cane. Bada bing, bada boom. You don't lose this game anymore.
Sounds just terrible.
8-way tie for second to last place.
So that was formative for me.
Yeah.
That taught me a lot about winning and losing. Also taught me a lot about which ones of my friends would do the best and worst at Fear Factor. It was horrifying. And the stakes in that game mattered. Because just third place was a huge victory. You get the bonus stars at the end, and you know that whoever hit the most red spaces avoids the cup of Sick Nasty. Incredibly stressful. So someone please let us know if you've played the Switch version and if we should buy it, because I would do that. I would do that. We could stream it, and we could either play the hot sauce version, or we're all 21 years old. Mario Party drinking game can actually happen with somehow the less gross thing, which is like vodka. If vodka's the less gross version of a game, you know you're making some horrendous mistakes earlier in life. I wasn't drinking, I was drinking salsa or hot sauce, really. Like we would just go buy the biggest, cheapest hot sauce we could find. It was bad, man. It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible. But it was also great. I have such fond memories of not losing. You got to figure out how to raise the stakes in Mario Party.
I remember, like, being
we'll talk about Chiefs Raiders momentarily.
Essentially doing the same thing. Like, you go to a friend's house. There was, I had a friend who, like, just wanted to, like, I don't know if this was his way of showing off, but, like, you would basically just put anything out there, and he would, like, snort it through his nose. So, like, ketchup. Snort it.
No!
Hot mustard.
No!
Whatever. Didn't matter. It did not matter.
Where is he now in life? How's his,
If
what's
I
the thing in the middle
right,
of your nose called?
Like,
what's the little thing that separates your nostrils?
Your septum?
Your septum.
Yeah.
How's his septum right now? Is your friend Artie Lang?
Besides that, probably roughly, I think he went to he was a radiologist or something.
Sometimes they'll surprise
you,
I guess.
Yeah, they do.
Sometimes your teenage friends really go to surprise
do.
You.
Absolutely do.
Like,
yeah.
Well, this is clearly most likely to have a cocaine problem.
For sure.
And what's that? He's a radiologist.
Yeah,
all right.
He's doing all right with his life.
Something else
he has
he'll
no
accept.
Septum, but like, you don't know
right, yeah. He has one big nostril, but it's okay. One other thing I'll suggest for the text line tonight. We're going to actually try to monitor this because I think this is fun. You can comment on the Facebook video, or you can text 913-912-4810, or you can tweet at JB Briscoe, at NotThatRudy, at Beards McFly.
There is online play, by the way.
Oh, man. Okay, that's good to know.
You can actually, get in the same room, and you can have, say, each, two switches, hooked up together for, certain minigames. So, if you just pop it off and you're holding the Joy-Cons and you use just its little kickstand. So you can have two screens next to each other, essentially.
That's fun.
And you can use those two screens to link together for some mini games.
I'm good with that. Yeah. That seems like a good idea. Text us or message us or Facebook us or tweet us about something that one of your friends did that was incredibly dumb, like snort everything, and then what they ended up doing in life. So... Snorting Steven is now a radiologist. I want to know everyone who has a friend like that, who did the dumbest thing and then now has the best career.
Yeah.
I'd like to know your suggestions for that.
Makes you wonder, why didn't I do that as a child?
Maybe why didn't I snort more things as a child?
That's where I went wrong in life.
If I would have just snorted more horseradish,
I'd be
making $100,000 a year right now as basically I just do x-rays all day. He's got to be doing something. He's got to be snorting something in his life, right? I can't imagine. That's your entire identity as a tween.
Sticks.
Yeah.
Just pixie
be doing
sticks,
something.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs played really well against the Raiders. And I can say
Derek
this
Carr
segment
was snorting pixie sticks.
I can say this segment he was snorting L's is what he was snorting.
Yeah, he
was. I can use this segment as evidence that game went really well because you hear how little stress we have in our voice. Go listen to the first segments on the Tuesday shows we did after they lost to the freaking Titans. We did not have the same energy. There was no party popper. There was no what did your friends do
since the party popper.
It has.
Yeah.
It has.
Part of that's shows and everything. But it's been a while.
But we've got the party popper day. It's also, it's the first time they've won a game with Mahomes on the field at the end since I believe Detroit. Which also means it's the first home win with Mahomes since
Baltimore?
I think it might be Baltimore. They lost it home to the Colts and Texans, obviously. Then they won at the Broncos, but it was on the road. Yeah, and then they lost to the Titans.
They lost the Packers. Or was the Packers the home game?
It was.
Yeah,
but
they lost
was
the Packers.
Matt Moore, though, also
beat the Vikings, but that's Matt Moore.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah, last home
Baltimore.
Win for Patrick Mahomes came in Week 3.
Whew.
If you also to be fair,
man, I wish we had Trubisky right now.
Beard zoom on his face.
Another thing I meant to ask you about before the show started. Have you seen this Mitch Trubisky, Tom Brady thing stat?
No.
I've got to find this.
Please
here
find
it is.
That.
Here
okay.
It is. Since Week 4, touchdown passes. Brady 11, Trubisky 10. Interceptions. Brady 6, Trubisky 5.
Oh, man.
Completion percentage. Brady 59, Trubisky 63.
Oh, man.
Rating. Brady 80.3, Trubisky 85.7. Yards per attempt, Brady 6.2, Trubisky 6.3.
I don't know, man. That stresses me out. That stresses me out because one of those guys won the Super Bowl last year and has a very good chance of doing it again because he does it every bleeping year ever. But also, I just I can't remember the order of it, but I just was researching this last night. I think Brady's with he's like half a point better QBR this year than Jameis Winston, mm-hmm. and like 1 point better EPA than Derek Carr. Those stats might be reversed. It might be EPA to Winston and
point
QBR
being,
to
though,
Carr.
Like it's
his
it's closer than you'd like.
Yeah,
if you're a Patriot
his company
fan.
Is his company is not very good.
Yeah,
and also like. I love analytics. I love a little EPA sprinkled over my, you know, mm-hmm. I love the EPA croutons on my football salad. Bringing a little crunch, a little flavor. Well, croutons probably aren't it because they're not good for you. And I think analytics are good for you. Yeah, but like,
croutons are good for the soul.
That's exactly right. Just the eyeball test on Brady this year, like, we all see it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows. This is sort of like the hush hush thing. This is like we were using Thanksgiving as a touchstone last week. This is like remember we had the guy text in and said that he was the new significant other at Thanksgiving, but he's a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Listen, if that guy's listening right now, you know, like they were talking about you after you left, and it probably wasn't. But like
the eye test was not great. The eye test was not great.
I actually have an example of this, but it's with people that I actually know, and so I'm definitely going to stop that comparison right now. But you know, you have a friend that like the new significant other shows up, and everyone like hangs out for like a party or two, and then you're like, oh no, they're bad, they're terrible. Someone's got to tell them.
And like,
we gotta let them know. We don't like this person you're with right now,
but
you just, it's just hushed tones until someone's like, hey, either so this we don't like this person, right? Or
and then,
hey, Tom Brady hasn't been very good this
and
year.
And then everybody starts chiming
in. And then the
in.
Room goes, thank God someone said it. Yes, Brady's
so,
looked like Mitch Trubisky all season.
Like, that's the thing. So, like, this is something that people have, like, I mean, we've heard this conversation, I feel like, twice over the last, like, 5 or 6 years that the Patriots are finally dead.
Yeah.
I think we're at the point where it's just, like, everybody's like, no, I've went down this road before,
mm-hmm.
and I was wrong.
He turned out to be a really good guy.
Same thing with the Spurs.
And it's just kind of like, I think everybody is
elbow
just,
on
like,
the, on the, on the
it's like,
marble.
Everybody is, like, holding off because it's like, I think we're all expecting, like every, and people are still saying it, where they're like, they still expect the Patriots to have this game where all of a sudden the offense breaks out. And that feels like something that would happen for the Patriots.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden it's week 13, 14,
uh-huh.
and
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay,
mm-hmm.
you have, there's not a lot of, like, opportunities mm-hmm. left to for the offense all of a sudden to break out.
It's so like, it might just be what they actually are, but like, even then.
Like, I don't think Gronk's coming back now. I think that's
he's officially, that door is officially closed.
Yeah.
It's officially closed.
Man, do they miss him.
Oh, God.
Like,
and like, there was the report a couple weeks ago of like, hey, Antonio Brown and the Patriots, maybe things didn't smooth over there. I was like, no, they haven't been. But like, that's how desperate they've been.
Yeah.
Because listen, man, listen, we're doing the thing I was complaining about earlier. Like, hey, we should probably look at the Raiders game for a second.
We've already jumped ahead.
We're moving ahead. You look at
we'll have stat fans on Reddit.
That's true.
And
I mean, we'll talk. We have 3 hours tonight. We'll go backwards at some point.
Backwards, forwards, sideways, upside downsies.
We're using the C stick. We're rotating like crazy. It's ridiculous.
It's a. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. But I'll let you go.
I don't know either. Thank you for the permission, though. Whenever you look at an offense that's run through Julian Edelman and James White,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, well, those dudes are a mother bleeper whenever it's your third and fourth options.
Yeah.
Whenever you are terrified of Rob Gronkowski and then literally any other pass catcher, Edelman's open for 12 yards, and that's infuriating, but it's because you have to pay attention to Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
The secondary, and this we can here's a quick peek backwards, the secondary was outstanding against the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And now listen, that Darren Waller. Darren Waller is a good football player.
Really good tight end.
Very quiet.
He had one nice catch, and you know what? Like, that's sometimes you just tip your cap. Like, that's a really good tight end, and he made a nice catch, and you move on with your life.
And he ended up with a 100-yard game, but it was like how Josh Jacobs ended up with 6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Those are good fantasy games in a really quiet day. Like, that's...
Well, and Josh Jacobs, and part of this is the offense, but I think it was 95 at halftime and finished with, like, 104.
Yep.
And a big part is, like, the off, you're up.
They were
Raiders
throwing,
now have to pass
sure.
the ball, which is, hey,
But also, Derek Carr only threw the ball 30 times. Yeah, he didn't throw it 60.
If you're really worried about the Chiefs' rushing defense, one way to stop teams from running the ball
is to be up 21-0 at halftime.
Yeah, just score points.
Hey, just do that. Why don't you simply go up by 21 points? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's the question.
Make teams throw the football.
But so you can go back and I would say look away from the box score and reconsider what you saw. Whenever Carr was standing in the pocket, whenever he was there, and you could say the pass rush could have had a little bit better of a day, and that, whatever. Part of it, I think, was the Chiefs put their chips on the secondary. And so they bring four, and you're losing the numbers game at that point. Mm-hmm. You bring four, and Derek Carr has 5 seconds in the pocket. Do you know what that means? It means he doesn't know where to throw the football.
Nope.
Derek Carr is no great shakes, right? He's a bucket quarterback that will forever be one of those guys in the middle. He's not an abomination. He's not going to win you anything either, whatever. Like if he had a really good stretch, someone would give him Nick Foles' contract and then immediately regret it. Mm-hmm. He's that dude. I guess that's fair, actually. That's actually a good point,
yeah,
Beards.
No,
that's actually a good point. The Raiders kind of did that. It's not quite the Nick Foles deal, right? How much is Derek? You know what? How much is Derek Carr making?
I think Derek Carr got a lot, but I feel like at this point,
it's 5 years, $125 million.
Yeah, I just feel like
that's real football money.
My only thing was maybe at this point we're past a decent amount of that guaranteed money.
Yeah,
right?
It is. It was 70 total guaranteed.
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
That's a lot more than
that's
I was
a
thinking.
Good point, Beards.
For some reason, I was thinking that guaranteed money was it was a big deal, but
no,
the guaranteed money was a lot.
No.
$70 million is a lot of guaranteed money.
By the way, I noticed.
Hold on, really quick. They could cut him after this season. It's $5 million and then $2.5 million in dead cap space. So
yeah,
they have paid off the guaranteed money now.
Yes.
But they gave him a lot.
But that's a little lot.
By the way, a lot of Raiders fans on Reddit were clamoring for draft Tua.
I would hate that.
Last three or four teams we played have been doing that in the fan base.
It's a good point, actually. That's true.
He'll drop to us, we swear.
You're gonna Beards, if you're in the Patriots subreddit this weekend, I bet you're gonna find a Tua reference.
Oh yeah.
I do not think he
especially
will
Brady's
make it
not great.
To New England. I'm telling you, you're going to see some Tua references. I believe that.
If he does, that's when you really start questioning, okay, the NFL's rigged, isn't it? That's when you're just all of a sudden, the Patriots draft Tua in the second round. You're like, wait, what?
No, he can't.
Or, no,
he
like, Tua,
can't be
like,
there.
Tua has pulled his name from the draft, and then magically before the Patriots pick, he's just allowed to re-enter. And I'm back!
And with the 32nd pick in the NFL draft. Oh, hold on, breaking news from Adam Schefter. Tua Tagovailoa has re-declared the NFL draft. Tua Tagovailoa.
The draft finishes, and then just Adam Schefter pops up. By the way, Tua signed as a free agent.
Yes,
undrafted free agent. Yes.
They signed
Seven
him to
years.
A 10-year, $12 million deal. What? How did that happen?
None of it's guaranteed. And if he gets hurt, they get 3 extra first-round picks.
That can't happen. But yeah, I don't want the Raiders or Chargers or Patriots to draft a quarterback.
No.
I'd rather them all run back what they've got right now. And that's, by the way, that's the thing with the Patriots. We're all like, yeah, I hope they do this again next year. This is fun. And they are 10-2, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Just these are 10-2 problems. The most interesting thing is that they've lost to the Ravens and they lost to the Texans, and they very well could lose to the Chiefs. Those are the three teams in the AFC that you're keeping an eye on.
That
aren't
in
their division
and poopy.
Maybe the Bills. The Bills and Steelers right now look like playoff teams. Like they're gonna
Except
be the
they already
playoff
beat
teams.
The Bills, didn't they?
Once. And they'll play them again in a couple.
And it was a close game. Bills played well.
And the Bills are
the
better now.
Yeah.
The Patriots might be worse.
The Bills offense looks better than it did the first time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's still, I think everyone who's skeptical of the Bills at this point has real reason to do it.
For sure.
Schedule's
been relatively weak. Now, to the Bills' credit, it's not their fault.
They
play and they've done what they
need
to do.
They've played well,
but
they're clearly a drop below.
Yeah, they
the
still.
Four teams
here. For them, the playoffs is big because that's how they can really prove if they belong or not. For them, that's.
Yep.
If for some reason the Chiefs, let's say they lose in the divisional round, we still know the Chiefs are a good football team.
Yep.
For the Bills, getting to the divisional round is a big deal because that means they won a playoff game. It's kind of showing everybody, hey, we're a real football team. We're actually good. We don't just beat three-win teams.
We will stay on the XFL uniform unveiling beat here. We're getting some more looks at the Battlehawks. Very, very clean. But I do want to look back at some of the stuff from the Chiefs and Raiders. Like, the secondary storyline might be the first one that I want to talk about, but I want to try to explain and understand how it's gotten this much better and how real I believe it is. And then we'll also talk about the Patriots a little bit. Seth Kizer of The Athletic will join us here in 30 minutes. Sad fans on Reddit at 9 o'clock, the last time that we're going to hear from the Oakland fan base.
By the way, really random thing. I was going to go save this version of my folder, and I started typing in to name it or whatever. I was like, oh, wait a second. There was a Sad Fans on Reddit via Raiders last year on this exact date. It's been a year. It was weird.
Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme. Chiefs sweeping the Raiders.
Gruden and the Beast?
Mark Gruden Davis is the Beast. Gruden and the Beast.
Mark Davis is absolutely the Beast.
But instead of the Rose, it's actually the Gruden counter, and he has to wait that long.
That's pretty good.
That is.
I was going to have it be a pair of dull scissors that he uses to get his hair cut. I'm a big fan of the Gruden and the Beast jingle. I think we might need to flesh that one out a little bit. We'll see if we can have a song by the end of the show today. I think that's reasonable. I think we can pull that off. We'll prove it and then ultimately fail you here in Almost Entirely Sports.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Can you imagine if they refilmed Return of the Jedi with John Gruden instead of whoever the guy was that played Palpatine?
Oh, man, I think that'd be great, man. That was my John Gruden. I'm John Gruden.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Did you ever hear about Darth Plagueis the Wise?
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We'll talk about Chiefs Raiders in a second, but first, the Tampa Bay Vipers just released their uniforms. My Tampa Bay Vipers, our Tampa Bay Vipers, quarterbacked by Aaron Murray, Tampa Bay Vipers. There's
both of your guys' teams now have Chiefs ties. Because Beard's got Chase Litton now.
I'm so mad that Beard's got Chase Litton, dude.
Neither Renegades get a Chief.
Give Kyle Shurmur one off season.
Fair enough.
I was Arizona Hotshots. Now I'm Tampa Bay Vipers. I don't even like green and yellow that much, but I keep getting that. These are definitely better than the Hotshots yellow abominations.
I've got to roll through the Renegade roster, see if there is like some like former Chief I'm not remembering.
That's fine, because the Hotshots were an abomination of a franchise.
They're champions in my heart. they didn't get a chance to, you know, prove it in the playoffs because the league didn't last that long.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's semantics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they declare themselves champions? Who declared themselves champions? Spurrier?
I think it was Orlando.
I think it was. It was Orlando because it was Spurrier. They had the best record like in their deal. It was Orlando.
The Apollos.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Yes.
Will you please, Rudy, will you please pull up a list of AAF teams? I'm gonna see if I can remember the names of them like 6 months after the league folded.
AAF teams.
I don't know if I'm gonna be able to if you give me okay.
Got him.
Oh, hang on, let me get some music for this, man.
I want to talk about Chiefs Raiders, guys.
Do you though? It's your idea for the game, man.
I do. I didn't know that Beard's going to try to make music real quick. He's back there on a drum pad. Go.
Well, hang on. Give me like 5 more seconds and it'll be ready.
Beat. Drop the beat, DJ McFly.
Let's hear it.
Damn, that goes hard.
Whew. I try.
So give me... Should I try to get the city and the mascot?
Yes.
Can you give me like a color? Or something.
Okay, so you already got the Orlando Apollos.
Orlando Apollos I have. I have the Arizona Hotshots.
Okay. Yep. Next one in line. So they were blue. Where Gordon Hayward reigned from. When he left the...
That was my team.
The beautiful, you know... When he left Boston West for Boston. Like, where Gordon Hayward. So this is where he was at when he I call it Boston West.
Sure.
Then he ended up in Boston. This is my hints of the team.
That's not a good one.
It was Salt Lake, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, there was not a Utah team. There was a Utah team.
There was a Utah team.
Stallions.
Yep.
Boom. It. Next one.
That's my team.
Okay.
Well, that was Beards' team. Yeah, I forgot about Beards' that. Team. Yeah, Boston West.
Okay.
That joke is also funnier now. I remember that Salt Lake.
And this is a reference to earlier in the show. Okay. That might be the Patriots of the NBA.
What? The Patriots of the NBA? Oh, the Spurs. San Antonio. You can just start saying the cities because I'm having a hard time. I was going to say one that's an XFL name, and that's not it.
Nope.
What color are the uniforms?
Logo,
whatever.
It's like a...
It's like red and gold, isn't it?
It's more like red and maroon. Yeah. Just two versions of red.
Outlaws.
Commanders.
Ah!
The opposite of an outlaw.
Okay. Just give me the city.
Memphis.
Grizzlies. Express?
Yep, nailed it.
Oof.
Birmingham.
Oh. Were they silver and black?
Yes.
They were.
What Memphis Express and the... What was the one we're just doing right now?
Birmingham.
Birmingham. Renegades.
Birmingham Iron.
God, I could have sat here for the rest of the rest of time.
My team, Atlanta.
They were purple legends.
Legends.
There we go.
Yeah,
and
then the
Mike
San
Vick
Diego.
For about 30 seconds.
Yeah, that was sad.
San Diego.
I had Aaron Murray and Michael Vick and it all. Here's the thing. You're excited to have Aaron Murray.
I am.
I've been there. I've been there twice.
San Diego Outlaws.
Fleet.
Bad. Is that it? Was that the AAF?
Yeah, that was,
rest
that
in
was,
peace, AAF.
That was the AAF.
Literally already forgotten you.
I thought there was a chance they might make it like 2 years, and they didn't even make
it. They didn't even make it to the playoffs.
They won.
Similarly to the Oakland Raiders. Not even going to make it to the playoffs. That's what I got in terms of segue.
That's pretty good.
And then they won't be there next year.
Yeah, that's true. Oakland is folding. The whole city.
Unfortunately, I don't recognize any former chief on this Dallas Renegade staff. That's a little sad.
Gary Gitter just got released today for Spencer Ware. Maybe he's looking for a spot.
We do love our receivers.
I would be thrilled if Gary Gitter would be the MVP. Dude, Aaron Murray to Gary Gitter? What an alternate universe Chiefs team is that?
Gary Gitter does feel like he feels like an XFL player. Here's the thing, though. He's not leaving Kansas City because he knows.
That's true.
He knows because of his connections. He's just one injury away from just getting back a couple weeks on the team.
Tyreek Hill gets a hangnail and he's on the practice squad. Yeah, you're right. That's probably for the best. That was the news of the day, by the way. The Chiefs waived Garrett Dieter. He'll be on the practice squad again, I imagine, relatively soon.
Mm-hmm.
And they re-signed Spencer Ware. He hadn't been on the roster in a while, but with all the injuries they've had, that totally makes sense. Discussed Tre'Kendrick West.
Who retired the same time that was announced. So my guess is that was kind of like his, when that happened, that was like, hey, this was my last shot. And like, I'm gonna hang it up.
It's kind of confusing. Because like for that to really be like, oh, well maybe if the Chiefs, like, is he working out every day? Like waiting if a running back for the Chiefs gets hurt? And
I don't think necessarily for the Chiefs care. My guess is he had been, thinking about it and he had been working out. And so like, this happens. He thinks, okay, here's a chance.
Yeah.
Gets passed over. It's like, you know what? Hey, I've already been thinking about it. I just got passed over. Maybe it's time. Maybe this is just a sign.
Yeah.
This is what I was
totally
looking
plausible
for. This is my time.
Connected there. Yeah, for sure.
It's also possible it was just complete coincidence. My guess is the two teams talk.
There's some connection.
Yeah,
I'm
and
sure.
Honestly, maybe the Chiefs reached out to him, and he had already decided before that.
Maybe he was
the person who they reached out to first, and he was like, you know what, like I'm calling it. I'm ready to move on in life. I'm ready for my next chapter.
I do prefer Spencer Ware in the situation though, as a running back. Obviously, he just had a hard time staying healthy, which is he'll be in good company with this Chiefs roster. Everyone's been banged up. It's a difficult position to stay healthy at. So, like, that's not a knock on him by any means, but that's just the fact of his career. Whenever he was healthy, he was really good. And especially whenever you look at, and like, listen, man, I don't know how much power he retains at this point after the injuries and not playing for as long as it's been, but If you're going to try to continue to make something work on third and short, Spencer Ware was the guy that you felt pretty good about giving that ball to. the offensive line is probably a bigger problem at this point than the actual line, than the actual running back that's behind it. So, you know, you can take that one way or another. I guess you can take that with a grain of salt.
You guys talked about that in the pregame show. I saw somebody I didn't get a chance to listen to the pregame show, but I saw somebody tweet it out. And it makes sense. It's not that and it's not meant to necessarily say like, hey, the Chiefs offensive line is bad. It's just they're built to do one thing and they're and where they do struggle is in short yardage running situations.
Yeah, Grunny and I did the pregame show on Sunday and that was something we talked about a lot, obviously, former Chiefs offensive lineman for a long time.
What would he know?
Chiefs
Hall of Famer. Center, I mean, but for like 10 years.
I look like I play tennis, I guess. So I mean take that, Grunny. But I really appreciated kind of the insight there on two fronts. Of one, I got to bounce my theory off. I was like, yeah, that checks out. Of like, yeah, this isn't what this line is built to do. This line is built to protect Patrick Mahomes and build him a pocket. Here's the problem with that. That hasn't been happening very much. I do want to talk to Seth about that here in a little bit because he's tweeted out some GIFs and some video clips over the day today to that effect. But yeah, like whenever you're a team that's built to pass, deciding to run on third and two or fourth and one to run straight at Jonathan Hankins and the gravitational pull that he has around him at all times, that's putting your team in a relatively difficult spot.
I think that's the other thing. It's not just running. It is that is quite literally the most generic running play you can call.
Yep.
And that is just not what that offensive line is built to do.
And again, I'm fully aware of the counterpoint being like, well, but you guys also all took a big old bleep on the Blake Bell play. And that's true. Mm-hmm. Throwing the ball at that spot is something you do because you're built to throw the ball. My frustrations with that play still stand because it was, hey, Patrick Mahomes, your only option is Blake Bell here.
Throw to Blake Bell or get sacked.
Right.
Your choice.
Right. Like that, I still think that was bad.
Yeah.
That doesn't, you know, like, and I'm really glad they went for it on fourth and one. Mm-hmm. And I don't even completely hate running the ball there, but Darrell Williams versus Jonathan Hankins, it's a tough spot for old Darrell with one L.
More often than not, that's going to be the result.
Yeah, that's how it's probably going to go. Again, the interior offensive line has had a lot of problems. But something else that Grunny mentioned was sort of around the topic of what the chemistry needs to be like between a running back and his offensive line and what you get in terms of chemistry and knowing who you're blocking for and everything. I want to talk about that here in a second in regards to Darwin Thompson. People were very excited to see him play. I understand it. Seth was very excited to see him play. He wrote a whole film review on The Athletic right now. I'll definitely talk to him about that in a little bit. But I want to look at that here whenever we come back and try to look at maybe what Andy Reid told us a little bit of yesterday and also understand why the Chiefs went so hard for Darwin Thompson there at the end of the game. I think that it made a lot of sense, and I think there's something to take away from that. And we'll talk about it whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Whenever I do shave, I always save the mustache until last and then just sort of stare into the mirror at my own reflection. Maybe I'll kind of like gently caress it a little bit, and I always just like whisper to myself silently, maybe next time.
On Sports Radio 810. WHB.
Can I ask you why you played that liner really quick? Like, was there like a specific?
No, it was just okay. I was looking for a liner and I just clicked that one and went, oh yeah, that's a good one.
I asked because it feels like that you're in my head right now. I want to just shave down to a mustache so bad.
Do it.
And I lose my nerve.
Do
I
it.
I didn't do the Movember thing because it included Thanksgiving and there's going to be pictures of me with my, you know, family that is going to get put on a canvas or whatever, and I can't have a mustache for that. And I'm going on vacation around the week before Christmas, and I'll be back soon after. The only Chiefs game I'll miss will be the Bears game, basically.
That's gonna be a game.
It sure will. That will be an NFL football game played and televised.
There was a time where you probably thought, man, I wish I wasn't missing this game. Like, it's a pretty big game.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now it's like, thank God I picked that game.
Yeah, I had to like really try to. I was trying to really pick and choose when I was going to go. I'm going to Florida to see my family down there. But here's what I'm thinking now. I thought, well, what if I go mustache for the vacation and then just let the beard grow back in over that week or whatever? Mm-hmm. Then we'll see where we're at. I might be really finding myself whenever I get back from the beach. Will they even let me through TSA if I have a mustache like that? If I just have this gross, like, blondish mustache, I feel like they could just stop me at TSA.
I mean, they'll let you through. You're going to get checked. But as long as you're fine, you'll get through.
The last two times I've flown, that's not true. Two of the last three times I've flown, I have had a lengthy check from TSA. Once Rudy and I were, when we were flying back from the Super Bowl last year,
yes,
we had our bags flagged because we straight up had a brick of M&M candy bars.
Yes.
They had the mini M&Ms in it, but it was like a chocolate bar.
They were,
and we had,
they were new at the Super Bowl. Like, they were unleashing them. Yeah.
Yeah. And we each had like six.
Yeah.
And they probably looked like a block of C4.
Yep.
They took it out, like wiped them down, and then gave them back to us, which is great because I was really excited. They're very good.
They were.
And then whenever I flew back from Florida last time, I legit had two computers, a Switch, a DS, and all my phone. I had so many devices that, like, I took like 20 minutes from, like, to check everything. It was all a nightmare. So I would like to get through. I also got like frisked the first time through. That was a whole experience. I said we're gonna talk about Darwin Thompson. We'll do that with Seth Kizer of The Athletic next year on Sports Radio 810.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.